Today we're going to talk about kindness. At first that might seem like sort of a light, frilly topic. You know, you might see that word and think like, okay, that's something that's, you know, pretty easy. It's not too invasive. It's not too challenging of a topic. Maybe even you feel a little bit disappointed that you think like, okay, when are we really going to get into some meat, you know, something really strong? And I hope that by the end of this lesson, that if you think that kindness is not challenging, that you'll come to appreciate just how challenging it is and just how important it is for us. I want to propose that kindness is a crucial quality for people who follow Jesus. You know, sometimes I think we think about a trait like kindness as sort of like a nice bonus, you know? It's like, well, if you can resist temptation, and you can worship in the right way, and you can be faithful in your attendance, and you can be a good husband and, like, you know, take care of stuff around the house and help out with that, like, if you can be kind on top of it all, then that's just sort of like a cherry on top, right? And that's not exactly the way the New Testament presents kindness to us. I also think kindness is one of those qualities that is very quick to be sacrificed sometimes. You know, with all of the things that we might be passionate about, all of the things that we think are right and the other people are wrong, you know, we debate those topics and we get really passionate about them. And a lot of times kindness is the first thing that we sacrifice. You know, it's more important to be right than to be kind, is the way it seems sometimes. But kindness is actually a word that's sort of difficult to define, and maybe that's because it's a little bit less precise than other Bible words. You know, if we think about a word like faith, we would say faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, conveniently defined for us in Hebrews chapter 11, right? Or you think about mercy or grace. In Bible class, we talked about, well, what is grace? And somebody said really quick, unmerited favor, right? We know that. Well, what is kindness? It's one of those things that is hard to really define in words, but it's a lot easier to recognize when you see it. The first time that I preached a lesson on kindness, I was talking to Katie about how to do that, and her suggestion was, well, why don't you just take a picture of this person and put them on the screen and say, you know, be like this person and just be done with it, and everybody will know what you mean, right? I told that story at Northwood in Alabama when I was preaching on kindness. And the beautiful thing about that was after my lesson, I had people come to me in the back, and they kept trying to guess who that person was that Katie suggested. And they would say, oh, I know who that kind person is. It's this person. And I would say, like, well, no, I'll never tell. You know, it's my secret. But the really interesting thing about that was everybody had a different suggestion of who that person might be. And I would guess that even if it's hard to define kindness in words, to say, okay, precisely like Webster's version, this is what kindness is, everybody has some idea of their mind of somebody that you know that's kind. Somebody whose picture I could put up on the screen and you would say, yeah, that's what kindness is all about. But all of that being said, I do think that the Bible does give us some definitions and some help to understand what kindness is like. And I'll just start with the Old Testament. Do you remember in Micah chapter 6, it's a very quotable verse where God says, you know, if you really want to know how to please me, if you really want to know what I expect from you, he says that I want you to do justice, love, kindness, and walk humbly with your God. We might think of the Old Testament sometimes as being sort of legalistic or cold, but from the very beginning, God has always expected his people to be kind people. But for the purposes of our discussion this morning, I want us to focus on the New Testament. And we're going to do a little bit of a word study of the New Testament. When we look at the word kindness or kind in the New Testament, it comes from three distinct root words in the Greek that take on six different forms. And so the first one, the first root word, and the three forms of it are on the screen right here. I'm just going to try to read it. I don't speak Greek, so it's probably going to be so wrong. But it's something like krestotes, krestos, or krestumai. And those are the different parts of speech that this takes on. But if we were to define this word, it would mean something like goodness of heart or moral goodness. This is the word that comes up in the list of the fruit of the Spirit. In Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. It's this word. It's the same word that comes up in 1 Corinthians chapter 13 and verse 4, where it describes what love is like. And Paul says that love is patient, love is kind. It's the same word. Turn with me to Ephesians chapter 4, though. I think Ephesians 4 is a helpful place for us to look. In verses 31 and 32, we have some direction about the kind of qualities that we ought to have as Christians. And what I want you to do is look at these verses and look at the words that surround kindness. Because if kindness is like sort of hard to put your finger on and say, this is what it means, well, maybe we can get an idea of what kindness is like by seeing the things that surround it, the things that are associated with it. And then also looking at the things that are incompatible with kindness. Ephesians 4 and verse 31 says, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. Be kind to one another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. Now, if you just sort of like take that as a complete picture of the kind of people that God wants us to be, in verse 32, you know, kind people are also going to be tenderhearted people, right? People who rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. That when we see how other people are dealing with things, we are moved within us to feel something similar to what they're feeling. I think kindness is associated with that. The idea of being forgiving, being quick to forgive and forget when somebody wrongs us, would be kind. But then also in verse 31, look at the things that are not associated with kindness. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you, along with all malice. You know, we could look at each one of these words, but have you ever known somebody that was really bitter and really kind? Like, normally that just doesn't work that way, does it? Or somebody that's full of wrath and anger, but is really kind. You know, like, oh man, that Josh guy, he is so angry all the time, but he's super kind. You know, it normally doesn't work that way. And so maybe we're starting to get an idea of what kindness is like by looking at the things that are associated with it and the things that are incompatible with it. Turn over to Matthew chapter 11, though. I've got two passages on the screen that actually use this Greek word, but it's not translated kind in your English Bible. So we're going to read these verses, and you're going to have to try to figure out where that word is. Okay? Matthew 11 and verse 28. Jesus says, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Okay, so this word, this Christotes word, it's in verse 30. And it's the word that in my ESV Bible is translated easy. Jesus says, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. It could be translated, my yoke is kind. What Jesus is saying is that, yes, I have a yoke for you to bear, right? If you're going to follow me, that there's going to be work that you have to do, but that work that I give you is not going to be overbearing or unpleasant. It's going to be easy or kind. Let's do the same thing in another place. Look over in Luke chapter 5. I really like this one to illustrate the point. Luke 5, 38 and 39. Jesus says, but new wine must be put into fresh wineskins, and no one after drinking old wine desires new, for he says the old is good. The word is the last word in verse 39, good. Literally, he's referring to wine that is mellow. It's not sharp. It's not biting. It's the same word that could be translated kind. Look over in 2 Corinthians 6. 2 Corinthians 6, I want you to see how Paul discusses kindness here. And at this point, we're just doing a word study. We're just going around and seeing different places where this word is used. 2 Corinthians 6, Paul is talking about how he commends himself as a preacher of the gospel. And as we go through this list, I want you to see how kindness appears in this list, beginning in verse 1. Working together with him, then we appeal to you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, in a favorable time, I listened to you, and in a day of salvation, I've helped you. Behold, now is the favorable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We put no obstacle in anyone's way, so that no fault may be found with our ministry. But as servants of God, we commend ourselves in every way, by great endurance, in afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights, hunger, by purity, knowledge, patience, kindness, the Holy Spirit, genuine love. Okay, stop there. Now, what Paul is saying is, look, these are the ways that I commend myself to you. Like, you Corinthians, if you want to look at me and figure out, am I somebody that can be trusted? Am I somebody that is honest and sincere and for real? Here are the ways that you can evaluate me. And look at this list. In verse 4, he says, we commend ourselves to you by great endurance, afflictions, hardships, calamities, beatings, imprisonments, riots, labors, sleepless nights. All right, if I'm going to commend myself to you guys in the same way, I'm going to have a hard time with that, you know? Like, I can't really point to a lot of extreme persecution that I've gone through for the sake of the gospel. I just haven't done it. I haven't had an opportunity to be beaten for my faith like Paul was. I haven't been shipwrecked, you know? I would like to think that if the situation called for it, that I could, but I can't point to that. Also in verse 7, he mentions, or at the end of verse 6, he mentions that he can commend himself to them by the Holy Spirit. You know, Paul is an apostle, and he's got some unique ways that the Spirit works through him, and I can't do that. I can't heal the sick here and say, okay, now you should listen to me, because God is with me. But tucked into this middle of this impossible-sounding list of all of these really inaccessible things, in the middle of verse 6, Paul says, I commend myself to you by kindness. I think that's powerful. Is that if we're going to be like Paul, if we really want to show people that we're sincere and we're humble and we're reverent and we're committed and we're compassionate, the way we can do that is with kindness. Something as simple as that. Being people who are kind people shows others that Christ is in us and that our words are worth listening to. Let's turn over to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians 2 gives us some insight into the kindness of God. And I think that this is especially helpful. In this great passage, Paul describes our salvation and the redemption that we have. And let's pick up in verse 4. You know, we were dead in our trespasses and sins, we were lost, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. Okay, here's what I want you to notice here. Is that when Paul describes what God did for us in the gospel, what makes our salvation possible, he gives us both the motivation and the way that God did it. Now, what is the reason why God saved us? What is the reason why we have salvation? Well, verse 4 tells us that, right? Verse 4 says, because of the great love with which he loved us. But how is God's love expressed? Well, verse 7 tells us that it was in kindness. Now, I just want you to sort of like file this away in your mind. We're just doing a word study right now. We'll come back to this point later. But the idea is that God commends himself to us by his kindness, right? Same thing that we were just noticing about Paul the Apostle. He was saying, look, the way that I commend myself to you, along with a lot of other things, is by kindness. The way God commends himself to us, really, is by his kindness. You see that? Okay, just notice that. Let's move on to the next word. And the next two are going to go a lot quicker. The second Greek word that is translated kindness sometimes is an adjective that is something like agathos. It's almost always translated good in the New Testament. Rarely is it translated kind. Luke chapter 18, verses 18 and 19, when the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and he says, good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. He's using this word, translated good. A definition of this would be excelling in any respect or distinguished. That's the idea. Look over in Titus chapter 2, though. Here's a place where both the ESV and the New American Standard translate it as kind. Titus 2, in verse 3. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Okay, so the King James Version actually translates it good here, but the ESV and the New American Standard translate it as kind. And we could do the same thing here that we did in Ephesians. We could look at the qualities that surround kindness to get a better portrait of what kindness looks like, right? An old woman who is reverent, who teaches what's good, works with young women to help them be better wives and mothers. Somebody who's self-controlled and pure, that would be qualities associated with kindness. But now let's look at this last word that the New Testament uses. It's a word that is sort of like philanthropia or philanthropos, which, if you're with me and you're following me and you're listening to that, it probably makes you think of an English word that we have. Philanthropy, right? And that's where we get that word. Literally, it means love of man. And when you think about a philanthropist, it usually means that there's somebody, usually a rich somebody, who does something nice or good for another somebody, right? And so, literally, philanthropos or philanthropia, it refers to a love of man. And really, I think this gets at the heart of what kindness is all about, doesn't it? Is that kindness comes from a place where we really love other people. Like, love is expressed in kindness, just like we saw with God in Ephesians chapter 2. Look at where Titus uses this word. Titus chapter 3, in verse 1. We're actually going to skip down to verse 4. Let's focus on verse 4. But when the goodness and loving kindness of God our Savior appeared, he saved us. Not because of works done by us in righteousness, but according to his own mercy by the washing of regeneration and renewal of the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by his grace, we might become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Okay, focus on verse 4 because this is where the word is. But notice again that kindness is associated with love, and kindness is associated with what God did for us. But here's what's interesting, is that in the ESV, verse 4 reads, goodness and loving kindness. Now, your Bible might say it differently because goodness is actually the first word that we talked about, that krestotes word, right? So, actually, what we could translate Titus 3:4 as is kindness in kindness. And that would not really be helpful for us. So what the King James Version does is it translates it kindness and love. The New American Standard talks about the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind. But here's the point that I think we need to see here. Is that God's kindness is not just about what he did, but it's about who he is. He's discussing the kindness, the goodness and loving kindness of God. And that's what Ephesians chapter 2 told us. Is that God was motivated by love for us, and so he treated us with kindness. That in doing what he did for us, God revealed something about his nature. You see, in other words, God didn't just do a kind thing for us. God is a kind God. He showed us through the sacrifice of Jesus that he really does want to save us. He showed us that he really does care about mankind.
That his heart really does ache for us.
He backed up his character with his actions. Now, this is where this gets challenging. Because if kindness seemed like a topic that might be sort of light and fluffy and not too challenging, when we think about everything we now know about the kindness of God, what does it mean for us to be kind like God is kind? Remember, God didn't just do a kind thing for us. God is a kind God. What that means for us is that what God is calling us to is not to just, like,
do some nice things for people every once in a while.
You know, it's not enough to just hold a door for somebody
every now and then. It's not enough to just every day do a golden deed. Like, I really appreciate the sentiment of the song, right? But where does the golden deed come from? Where does the work come from? It comes from a transformation of the character. You see,
kindness is not just about doing kind things, but it's about being kind people. And that's what following Jesus is all about, see? It's not about just taking off some of the rough edges. It's not about just
making some small improvements here and there. But it's about an actual transformation of our character.
It's about a transformation that happens from the inside out. That when we
become kind people, our kindness is revealed in our actions.
And that's more difficult, you know?
As an illustration, let me
ask you this. How many people do you know that are truly kind? And how many people do you know that can sort of just put on a kind face when they have to? At the beginning of the sermon, I talked about like putting a person's face on the screen, and I think all of us probably know of a person or two that we could put on there. But after you get through that person or two, how long is that list, really? Which one are you? Are you a person that can sort of act kind, or are you somebody that truly is kind? There's a difference.
And what God is calling us to is
to be kind like he is kind.
Kindness is uncommon
when you really think about it. But it's not impossible. And what the Bible teaches us is that God's Spirit can have that very effect on us. That if we commit to it, that God can truly make us kind people, not people that just act kind sometimes. And I think that this principle is no better illustrated
than in the book of Romans. We're going to look at a few passages here in Romans that illustrate
how this works. And we're just going to be hitting some highlights. But start in Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. Romans 3 and verse 10. Here Paul is quoting from the Psalms. And he makes this observation about humanity.
As it is written, none is righteous, no, not one. No one understands. No one seeks
for God. Now, he says verse 11, or, I'm sorry, verse 12. All have turned aside. Together they have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. In verse 12, where he says no one does good, it's that first word we talked about. Really, another way that you could translate that phrase is no one is kind. Would you agree with that observation? You know, if you spend any time on Facebook, that becomes pretty clear, right? You spend much time talking with people about anything, really, it suddenly becomes clear. It's like, man, nobody seems kind anymore. Like, everybody's just out for themselves. Everybody is, like, so passionate about what they think is right that kindness becomes the thing that is sacrificed. Everybody just wants to look out for themselves and hurt other people. And like, maybe we end up with this sort of dejected place. Like, look, I'm looking around, and it doesn't seem like anybody's kind. Well, go back to chapter 2. Romans chapter 2 and verse 3. Paul is quick to remind us, "Do you suppose, O man, you who judge those who practice such things and yet do them yourself, that you will escape the judgment of God? Or do you presume on the riches of his kindness and forbearance and patience, not knowing that God's kindness is meant to lead you to repentance?" You see, what Paul says is, it's easy to observe that other people are in the wrong. That's especially true when it comes to something like kindness. It's very easy to say, nobody else is being kind. And God says, well, are you being kind? And this is the way it's supposed to work. As we've observed the way that God is kind, that really God's kindness is meant to lead us to repentance. God, in his kindness, is supposed to be having an impact on us that makes us kind people. I think that's what he's getting at here. In chapter 11, in verse 22, he uses the word kindness again. Here he's talking about the way that God has grafted in the Gentiles. And he uses this analogy of an olive tree. But look at what he says in verse 22. "Note then the kindness and the severity of God. Severity toward those who have fallen, but God's kindness to you, provided you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you too will be cut off." You see, the idea is that no one is kind, but God, in his kindness, is meant to lead us to kindness. And if we continue in kindness, then God will continue being kind to us. But if God is kind to us and we're not kind people, God says, I'm not going to be kind to you anymore. See that? But now look at where this thought comes to a conclusion in Romans. Romans chapter 12, beginning in verse 14. As Paul works through this idea of how we all have this problem, but the gospel is meant to have this impact on us, and God is going to continue to be kind to us as we're kind to others, it reaches this idea that we offer ourselves as living sacrifices, and then we live as people that are transformed by the gospel and have an impact on other people. And listen how he describes this in verse 14. "Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. Never be wise in your own sight. Repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God, for it is written, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay,' says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." I think the idea here is that kindness is contagious. The idea is that when we are so affected by the kindness of God that we can't help but be people that are kind people. In another place, it says, "As you have been forgiven, so you also must forgive." That's what Paul says in Colossians. Wasn't that the whole point of the parable of the unforgiving servant?
That if God has forgiven
you of so much, who are you to hold grudges against others? And the idea here is that when we internalize that, when we come to the gospel, when we are so impressed by the kindness of God that it humbles us and it makes us kind people, that we will have an influence on the people around us. We're going to be blessing those who persecute us and not cursing them, rejoicing with those who rejoice and weeping with those who weep. People who authentically love other people, because God authentically loves us. And you might get to verse 20 and think, okay, here we go. Now, this is what I'm talking about. Vengeance with cotton candy. Let's heap some burning coals on their head. Let me tell you what I think that means. You know, if I was to ask you very nicely to leave your seat right now, you may or may not want to do that. You might say, like, hey, I'm pretty comfortable right here. I don't feel like moving. Or, like, I was having a pretty good nap until just now. But if I was to take, like, a little shovel full of burning coals and just place them on your head, how long do you think you'd stay in your seat? I think you'd move pretty quick. I think the idea is that when we actually become people that are kind, when we are treating our enemies the way that Paul is describing treating our enemies, that we will have an impact on the way other people live their lives too. It makes them uncomfortable. It makes them want to change. It makes them want to move. You think that'll work? Like, let's bring it down. Like, will that work at your workplace with that unkind coworker? Will that work in your family when your husband or your wife is not very kind? That if you were to just be kind, do you think that might have an impact on that person? Would that work at church? With that unkind brother or sister that, you know, you always make sure you don't go to the bathroom at the same time with? I think sometimes we think, no, this seems weak. This seems ineffective. This doesn't really seem like what we need to do. We need to fight fire with fire and be more passionate, more zealous than they are. And, you know, the idea is they're the ones that need to change. But maybe the way that God's kindness changes us is the same way that we can help to change other people. That God showed us that he loved us by his kindness. And if that was enough to change you, then maybe your kindness is enough to help change somebody else. Look over in Luke chapter 6. I have the full passage on the board. You might not be able to read it. So you can turn to Luke 6, or you can listen. But listen what Jesus says in Luke chapter 6 in verse 27. But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also, and from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful. Do you want to listen to the words of Jesus? Do you want to be a son of the Most High? Be kind, like your Father is kind. So, what
have we learned from God
about kindness? I think that if we were to summarize it, we might say kindness is as much about what you do and how you do it as it is about who you are.
That if we're going to be kind like God,
that has to come from a transformation of our character. We have to be impacted by God's Spirit. The gospel itself has to make that change within us. We can't just settle for acting kind. We have to be kind. What I've come up with are three observations about kind people. I hope that this is an accurate sort of summary of the things that we've talked about. But as I look at God's kindness and what we're called to, I think that this is a pretty good ideal for us to strive for. First thing that I've noticed about kind people is that kind people are happy to do good for others. Whoever you might have thought of at the beginning of this lesson to put their picture on the board, they're probably not a person that would say, okay, fine, I guess I'll do something good for you and complain about it and remind you about it all the time. Hey, remember that time that I helped you out? They're happy to do it. Second thing I've noticed about kind people are pleasant to be with. Remember how that same word was used to describe that wine? Not the old, bitter wine, but the mellow kind of wine. Whoever you might have thought of at the very beginning is probably somebody that you like being in the room with. Let's be those kind of people. And thirdly, kind people are consistent. They're not the kind of people that were kind that one time, but they're the type of people that are always kind. You can always count on. And so, as I've said, maybe kindness seems like a light topic, but it's very challenging when you really think about it. And what if that's not us? What if you hear this lesson? What if you think about these things and you think, you know what? Like, I'm 0 for 3 this week. Like, especially number 2. I can remember on Tuesday, I was not very pleasant. Right? Well, it means we have room to grow. It means that we have more that we can strive for. And I just want to give you one last passage that I think is helpful. As I was studying for this lesson and thinking about what the Bible says about kindness, this really stuck out to me as a very profound principle. Proverbs 11:17 says, A man who is kind benefits himself, but a cruel man hurts himself. You see, one of the great truths of the Bible is that you lose your life to find it. That if you really want to live, that you have to die. That if you want to become great, you have to become a servant. And that's the way being kind works. Being kind, serving others with kindness, it's good for the people around us. They're certainly going to appreciate it.
But the person that will benefit the most from that
will be you. So let's let God's kindness have its intended effect on us. Let God's kindness make us kind. Love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return. And your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for He is kind. There's somebody here that wants to respond to the kindness of God by becoming like Him. You can do that through the gospel of Jesus. If you need to become a Christian, or if you need to ask for prayers of this group, if there's anything that we can do to help you, we're going to stand and sing an invitation song in just a moment, and you can come to the front
and let us know what your needs are.